Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
Welcome, everybody, to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is episode number 58, and I'm here with my good friend and faithful servant in the faith, Sasso Mendez.
What up, Ben? 5'8", the big 5'8".
What's up, bro? We're almost going to be to 60, man.
I know. I feel like I'm going to be 60 in age, you know? Getting old.
I know. It's getting late right now, and I'm pretty tired and feeling like an old man right now, bro.
I walked like 10 miles yesterday, and my back's hurting.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I didn't feel bad when I was walking, but
I couldn't believe it. Like, you sent me that text, and I don't know what time it was in the morning, and you already walked like 7 miles, like literally. I was like...
And this is dumb. I was looking for a Starbucks, but on foot, you know? So I went to one. There was no place to sit down, and so I just got back on the trail, and then I cut through neighborhoods, and then I'm like, oh, I'm only a mile and a half from Panera, and I got my free drink there, and let me just walk over there. And you think a mile and a six half, and a mile, 1.6 miles in your mind is not far, and because you drive. When you walk, it's not as, you know, not as close.
No.
But it was a beautiful day yesterday, but I got a lather going because it got a little warm, you know what I mean?
Well, what were you carrying? You had your laptop. I mean, what did you have?
And here's the dumb thing. I had my work laptop, right? And I had brought these Monsters because this guy at my work, he's on my team. His wife works at Monster, so he doesn't drink them, so he brings us. So we have like, he has like 30 in a box, right? And he doesn't want you to get like two a day or whatever, but you can grab one whenever you want one. So I don't drink them, so David does. And so I brought some from David, and I meant to give it to him freedom at last. Like, man, my bag seems heavy, and it's because I had those stupid cans in there. So I carried those cans, like, you know, 10 miles yesterday, like an idiot, you know. And I was close to Scottsdale Fashion Square, which is funny because I was, like, maybe a mile from Tempe Marketplace. Wow. And that's how far I'd walk. Once you start walking, you just don't realize it. And I was doing Slack and texting my team and making sure they were doing what they're supposed to do. And
you should have broke out the Monsters, bro, into some curls.
I know. I didn't think about it. I'm just like, why is this so heavy? And then I realized, I'm like, yeah, I have these stupid Monsters in here. And because my computer in itself is not very, I mean, this iPad is heavier than my computer at work. You know, it's just a flimsy Dell, whatever. But yeah, I carried the backpack. And then the backpack, you know, where it was just all wet, all soaked because you're sweat, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So my bag might be a little funky.
And it wasn't that warm. It was, what, in the 60s?
It was nice. Yeah, it was beautiful.
But yeah, I mean, that you're in the sun and you're walking, so you're...
When you walk, like, you know, 3 or 4 miles, you work up a little louder.
Yeah, you're going
to
work up.
Then I was like, yeah, you know, might as well just go to the mall and... But I'm like, no, because then I won't get any work done there. I'll be shopping. I'm like, yeah, I better get to work. You mean, it's 10 o'clock in a...
I'm surprised that Panera didn't have the Wi-Fi, man. That's crazy.
It went down.
That's crazy.
Because you couldn't even order off the kiosk.
That's weird.
So they actually had to, like, customer service you for real. It wasn't like this. You know, I'll put your order in the kiosk. And so the guys, I go, you know, how do I put in for my free drink? Because it says I owe money because I can't put in my phone number. And they want hot or cold. I'm like, cold. And so he just gave me a cup and I didn't.
Wow. So was their point of sale not working either? Like, you couldn't swipe a card?
So you had to pay. So, like, you couldn't log in to get your free, like, Sippy Cup membership. So when I put the iced tea in, it says $3.75 because it wouldn't allow me to put my your card in.
Correct. Okay, gotcha.
But if you were ordering food, you could just pay and then it would still work that way. Because I guess the menu is set on there. It's, like, downloaded. So it's not having to pull information from the internet, like your,
and they can store probably the
correct. Yeah, okay, so they stored all that, and then I guess once it comes up, it probably would load everything up,
uploads and syncs correct. Up. Or
but
whatever.
You couldn't sync it, and then there was none in the restaurant, and then my phone wasn't. It just wouldn't, like, I guess my system required more internet than my hotspot could give. So I just looked up library, and it's like 0.5 miles. I've walked all this far already. I just might as well go there.
7 miles. So, yeah. What's another half a mile?
Let's go, you know. So, yeah. So the library was, thank you, Scottsdale Library, for that. But yeah, I just, But so I had the Monsters. That's what made it so heavy.
Okay.
So I took them out today and I sent a picture to David and I'm like, maybe don't open it. Maybe be careful when you open it because it could be all, you know what I mean?
It's a ticking time bomb,
bro. Ticking time bomb with all that.
Ready to pop.
Like, I think Gustavo had like two Monsters back to back.
Wow.
And he told him, like, dude, you better...
That's a lot of caffeine, bro.
You better kick back. Because they're big, right? They're not 12 ounces. No, and... They're like 20 ounces.
It's a lot of caffeine, bro. Like, you got to be careful. You can die. I mean, there's people that die from drinking too much.
Well, even Panera says, like, don't get those supercharged lemonades. You got to be careful because you can get... Yeah, people... I don't know. Is it a heart attack or I don't know.
Maybe.
Like, I don't know. People that game, like, 24-7 and they would drink those and they've died because of it's too much caffeine.
Yeah, I've seen that, bro.
So yeah, like no thanks.
Yeah, I've tried a few energy. They're not great, bro. They have a weird taste, to be honest with you. But they do amp you up. Like it's a lot of caffeine, you know, it's a jolt.
And I mean, I had a Philly cheesesteak yesterday, I sent you a picture. Not Graziano's.
It looked like there was some little chunks of sausage in there. And,
I mean, no sausage, bro.
It looked just, like there was meat. Sausage in there. It was just meat.
Was there?
It looked like it. That's why I thought it was the bomber. That's why I said, man, that looks like the bomber almost.
Keith's in the kitchen back there, you know? No, but it was just a perfect blend of cheese and onion. I didn't get mushrooms or bell pepper.
Okay.
But you can. It comes with that. I said no. So I wanted to go to... Rebecca offered to take me to Lolo's. I'm like, no, let's... I know she likes that other restaurant a little bit better, so...
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't want to be disappointed with poor service and pay a lot of money, so...
How close were you to Lolo's? You guys weren't that close.
I walked past it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I went from the Tempe Marketplace on Curry and McClintock. I don't know where it was. Not Curry. Yeah, maybe Curry. And then I walked past, and that's on Thomas.
Oh.
And then Panera's on Indian School.
Okay. Wow. So, man, you were all over.
So I was on Indian School. Yeah. So I walked through, I cut through, I forget that high school right there, and I cut through, because there's El Dorado Park by that place. So I went through El Dorado Park. It was nice. It was a lake and... I just kept walking, and then I went to the fries, and there was like, let's get back on the trail. So, no, my boss isn't listening, you know. I worked like 4 hours yesterday, 4 or 5 hours. But,
oh, wow.
And I don't feel bad, right? Your salary. And
hey, as long as you get your work done.
You get your work done. And yeah. I came home, worked for an hour and 15, knocked it out, and here we are today.
I'm sure you've had plenty of 12, 14-hour days.
Yeah, there's no Saturdays where he's like, don't work so hard, you know? Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. They never tell you that.
No, they never tell you that.
They never will tell you that.
No. But I got my car fixed. I had some tears in my upholstery, and they did a good job. And
really? Nice.
It bothered me because, you know, like when it's cut on your knees, the back of your knees, it like...
Oh, yeah. Poke you.
Yeah. So I wanted it to be nice, so now it's all... And they fluffed up my center console because I tore it. It was cracking, so they put a new pad in there, and it's more cushy.
Nice.
So it's nice.
Wow.
I thought it was leather. He's like, no, the middle seat's leather, but these sides are vinyl.
So did they match it pretty good?
It looks perfect.
Really?
And what I realized is they don't have to be perfect on that end on that side because the other side's tucked into the center console. So you really can't see the stitching, but the top stitching matches.
Okay.
And then they restitched the whole center console and it matches my seats where it didn't match my seat. It was more thin lined, but they matched it all together where the seats match.
Wow, that's pretty cool, man.
And so we were already out there. So I just told Rebecca, like, pick me up from the library. We'll go to lunch. And then we went to lunch and I just said, we're a mile and a half away rather than going 25 miles back home. I almost walked back. I should have just walked home. And so he said, it'll be an hour. Just go to Tempe Marketplace. And I got gas. I got to Barnes & Noble for 5 minutes. I'm like, all right, your car's ready. So I was thinking she's going to pick me up in the morning, take me back, and then take me back again. And I just ended up staying the day out there and
working a little bit.
And it worked, and I didn't have to go make two trips. So,
That's cool.
Because it's pretty far.
Okay.
So, stupid me. I'm like, why did I pick a place that's... But they were good. I got good reviews, and I was at Subi Works anyways. I'm like, just take care of it. So
Get it done.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I got to go back in April to get my car fixed. So, yeah. Good times.
Well, then you already know what's down there, man.
I know, so exactly. We should go get that Philly cheesesteak.
Hey, I'm down, bro. Let's try it.
We should try it.
I haven't had a Philly cheesesteak. You know, it's probably I haven't had a Philly cheesesesteak since Graziano's, if I think about
it. Did you get one at Miracle Mile or no?
No.
You didn't get one there?
No.
That's pretty good there, too.
When you and I went to Miracle Mile, I got the brisket sandwich.
Did you like that? It was good.
That was pretty bomb, bro. Yeah. That was a good pile of brisket. Good. Yeah. Speaking of brisket, bro, I'm looking forward to that brisket this weekend. You know what I'm saying?
That's grass-fed brisket right there. You know what I mean?
Dude, I made some of those burgers on my griddle because I got the griddle you guys gave me for my birthday, and did the smash burger on those. Oh, dude, those burgers were fantastic.
Rebecca made them in the skillet. I thought they were really good, and then the guy at work just gave me a hard time. I'm like, oh, you should use a grill. You shouldn't be using a pan. I'm like, It's good anyway. I got my grill. Rebecca finally put it together, you know, and I won't take credit for it, but she did 99% of the work. I was moral support. So we got to get that thing going. My cousin wants to come over and help me get some. He said, you got to burn off. You got to treat it, and then you can cook on it. You got to heat it up. And
yeah, it depends. If you have like some metal on there or whatever, you got to cure it or whatever.
That's what, there's like a mix you can buy, seasoning to season. I'm like, I never heard of that before.
You can, or you can use some sort of, you could even use like lard or something, like animal oil or something.
Put it on there and burn it off?
Mm-hmm. That's what I do with my griddle.
Too bad I couldn't use my own.
Seasoned it.
My own seasoning fat, you know what I mean? Just get the love handle and just put on the morales right there.
Burn that off, yeah.
If you see the mountain, you know something good is about to happen. You know, that morale lard.
We should probably get into some content.
All right, bro. Here. Sorry. Yeah,
we're talking about food. But anyhow, before we get into the content, just want to encourage you guys, check out our website, abundantlife.fm. You can download, or not download, but you can check out all of our show notes. I guess you could download them. I don't know. You can copy and paste them or whatever. But
whatever you want to do with them.
Whatever you want to do with them. But check out abundantlife.fm. You'll see all of our show notes there. Check us out on YouTube, and we've got all of our, well, not all of the episodes. We've got most of them. I can't remember when we started recording episodes on YouTube, but check out our YouTube channel. This episode will be on YouTube as well. And today we're going to be talking about a topic that God put in my heart a while back. We've been trying to do this particular episode for a little while, and it's going to be on the topic of selfishness. This is titled, Is Being Selfish a Bad Thing? And we're going to read out of Webster's 1828. The definition of selfish is regarding one's own interest chiefly or solely, influenced in actions by a view to private advantage. And our key verse, Sasso, do you want to do the key verse?
Yeah, let's do this. Philippians 2, I think it's verses 5 through 7 or 5 through 6.
Chapter 2, 3 through 4.
3 through 4, my bad. All right. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Right. So I've got the ESV here, and it says, do nothing through selfish ambition or conceit. And selfish ambition, it's another word for selfishness, right? Which means motivation to elevate yourself. Or put your own interest before someone else's interest. And then it also says, do nothing through selfish ambition or conceit. Conceit just simply means through pride. And then it says, it goes on to talk about, you know, do things in humility and count others more significant than yourselves. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today, this concept of selfishness. And we do this. We're really good at this. In fact, in our last episode, I think we mentioned this. You know, when we're from the time we're born, it's like we have this selfish nature. I mean, you know, we want all of mom's attention, or we want to be fed right now. I mean, sometimes even now, bro. Like I'm in the morning, I'm getting hungry, bro. I get angry. I'm like
on Friday, bro. We were waiting,
dude. We waited till like almost 4 p.m. to get that.
It was dinner.
And that was lunch. Well, yeah. Lunch, quote unquote lunch, man. Yeah, my bad, bro.
It's all good.
But yeah, boss threw a wrench in it for a little bit there. Just
you gotta pay the bills. You know,
sign something there last
so
minute.
So the Ponza can eat.
Hey, I'm not mad. It's all good. We ate pretty good. We had a good burger. You had some. Those wings were a little skimpy, though, but
I know.
But you know,
they skipped leg day for sure.
and that's just it, right? We have this selfish nature, and I really started thinking about this, and there's a lot to it. This selfishness, we look at we can track this back to the fall of man, right? We look at when Adam and Eve were, you know, when they sinned in the garden, there was this selfishness, this pride. We can read out of Genesis 3, chapter 3, verse 6. It says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So, I mean, Satan appealed to Adam and Eve's pride, right? Their selfish desire. They wanted to be like God. They wanted to be as God was, right? It's kind of the whole story of Satan, right? I mean,
and that's what he sold him on, right? Like he had already fallen because he wanted to be equal with God, and he was already the most beautiful angel ever created.
Right, right.
And he sold him like God doesn't want you to know basically what he knows, right? He wants to withhold things from you. And he still tells us that, and we're like, well, I don't want to be withheld from anything. I deserve that. I deserve to know. I should know. And
yeah,
I think that's the one, the greatest lies that we hear today is you deserve this, right? When we deserve hell. Let's be honest. And I think of these verses here, let each esteem better than themselves. And just like I read that book, The Ministry of Marriage, and that's what it talked about. It talked about when I get married, I want to marry somebody that's going to make my life better, right? Nobody marries to be miserable. But we never look in a relationship and say, I want to be a friend or a husband because I'm going to make... I never said to Rebecca, I want to make your life better. Never. And she could tell you, like, I didn't live like that either, to make her life better. But that's very selfish. And I was telling somebody at work, we look at opportunities... like, hey, that guy has sun tickets, so I better be his friend. Or that guy knows how to fix cars, or I better be his friend. Or that guy's a doctor, I should be his friend. Dr. Watson can write me scripts, so I'll be nice to her. And we look for these angles on people to gain an advantage for our own privilege and our own benefit. We're never looking to... I mean, we have to fight against that selfishness in us because we constantly are looking for... Like, there's one piece of cake, I'm going to eat it, right? I'm not even going to offer it. And I think your kids help you in that regard a little bit too. And not every parent's like that, right? Not parents don't care. Rebecca said there's ice cream sandwiches in the fridge that were only for her dad, right? And my dad had soda that was only for him and work. Not that that's selfish, but we, you know, as adults, we at times we are selfish. We don't want to share. We don't want to... Rebecca's like, you get really weird when, you know, there's food and you don't want to share. I'm like, well, it's because food, you know, I don't want to share. And that's, we don't look to esteem others better than ourselves. We look to every opportunity we can to benefit us. We will most likely take, we have to fight against the pursuit of ourselves because it overwhelms us in every aspect of life.
Yeah. We were talking about in the last episode about, God's love for us. But one of the things we were talking about is our love for ourselves. Like, we don't have a problem with that. Like, I don't ever say, man, I need to work on loving myself more because I got that down pat, bro. I trust me, it's funny you mentioned, you don't want to share your food. For some reason, this image came to mind. So our last dog before we had Sophie, we had Tsuki. She was this little Shih Tzu. And she was funny because, like, she had a thing for food too. She didn't want to share none of her food, bro. She'd get her food and it's funny because this one time she, I think, I don't remember if it was like a rawhide bone or something that she was trying to eat and she was choking on it, but she was trying to swallow it like almost like whole. And I'm like, oh man. So I got over there and I'm trying to pull it out of her mouth and she didn't want to let it go. And finally she snapped at me. And she snapped so hard, bro. One of her teeth punctured my nail. Like, it put a hole in my nail and it hurt like crazy. I'm like, okay, stupid dog. Then choke.
Die.
But yeah, that's how she was. She would never share her food. You'd give her a piece of whatever. And man, there's no sharing food with her. It was so funny.
Selfish unto death, right? That's epitomizes who we are.
That's exactly what we are. And I think that's kind of the whole, I think even Pastor mentioned this in a sermon recently. That's the whole marketing thing right now, right? You mentioned something a minute ago, like, we want to serve ourselves and we have this, they call it FOMO, fear of missing out. I got to have this and I got to have everything and I got to, it's me, what is the, I'm trying to think, there's some commercials, what's the one, have it your own way. What is that?
Burger King.
Have it your way or whatever. There's these slogans that they have, or you do you,
Casino,
there's these different slogans. It's all marketing, but it's almost like it's conditioning us to be selfish and to just look out for number one, look out for myself.
I think it's capitalizing on our selfishness, right? It's knowing the heart of mankind and, these marketing firms already know, right? And just like the Amazon deals, right? I think of that too. Like, well, I didn't get a chance to look at it. There has to be something in those plethora of deals that I'm missing out on that I could have it and if I never knew, then I wouldn't know anyway. But we have that fear of just missing out. That's why we would go to, we go to George and Sons, right? And they got terrific fried rice. And my dad will say, I'll get you your own because I don't want to share And I mean, I do end up sharing, right? But he's, he, you know, and that's kind of how it was. Like, I remember we used to have these, it was, I forget what it was called, beef noodle at this old restaurant, Sing Hai, that we used to go to that's no longer. And they would get one egg. And there's one egg in there that comes in the beef noodle. And one time, Rebecca just, we were dating and we went to dinner with my family and she ate the egg. And we all looked at her like, like, that's my mom's egg, you know. You're selfish. And then from then on, we would just like, can you order extra eggs? You're like, yeah, you can order extra eggs. And they're like, oh, not everybody gets an egg, you know. But that's, we're so consumed with, you know, just being, thinking of ourselves. And we want the egg. We're not that my mom wanted it, but we just, you know, the matriarch, we surrendered it to her. But yeah, I mean, it's unnatural for us to think that way. And I can look back, right, every year of my life and say, man, that was like really selfish that I thought that way. And you still have to guard against being selfish. And
well, and that's kind of the flip side to that too, is not just the FOMO, but it's the way they market things, that you deserve it. You deserve this, or you deserve whatever. And I think what we've done essentially with this type of marketing is we've also conditioned, and I think this is a lot in the younger generation, I see it, but we have these entitled kids. Like, they're entitled to stuff because they deserve it. You know, they haven't worked for nothing, but they deserve it. You know what I mean? And I think we're feeding the beast is what we're doing. And so I know, and I have a business, and it's funny because I do marketing too, and I get all of that. It's a hard line to walk, you know, but you got it. You have to market in order to, you know,
to make money.
You have to market. It's not, but you know, you try not to be shady about it, or, you know, to be, you know, that kind of marketer, you know?
Well, and I think Pastor made a good point, this past Sunday when he was talking about how we desire to make our kids' life easier than what we had it.
Yeah.
And we do them a disservice when we do that, because maybe they need to learn different things,
and they
need to learn how to share, and that you don't have your own. And that's why Rebecca and I struggled so much, because I grew up as, you know, my sister and I, and she's 6 years older than me. So she had 6 years without me, which she said were the best years of her life until I came along and messed it up. And then she went to college, right? And so I had my time with my mom and dad, and a special time. And then I get married and I have to surrender, you know, and Rebecca would say, like, you know, I go, do you want your own fries? And she would say no. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I would get my burger and fries, and she would take some of my fries. And I'm like, I just asked you if you wanted your own fries, and you said no. And she's like, well, I don't want my own. I just want some of yours. And I'm like, no, if you want fries, I will buy you your own fries. Mm-hmm. But don't take mine. And I look back at that like, man, how? And now she'll ask me, like, do you mind if I have some fries? I'm like,
just get some.
I don't care. My kids, the same thing. I told them, anytime I have a drink, you're more than welcome to drink out of. You don't have to ask. You can just take a drink. And then sometimes they're a little mad. I get my AJ's raspberry hibiscus tea, and I'm like, I don't want to share that. But that's, I mean, we're just so prone to. And I had to learn, even as an adult, and I still learn to not be selfish, because it's so ingrained in me to be selfish. I want things my own way, and I struggle. And I'm 47, right? So it's.
Well, I grew up and I was the only child, bro. So like, everything was me, 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 me. And so, can you imagine, like, you know, getting married? And I'm like, Diane probably still thinks I'm selfish. I don't know, and I probably am. In all fairness, I don't even want to think about how bad.
Of course, we are.
How bad I was though when I first met her. I was probably pretty bad. But anyway, we're gonna take a quick break and we'll be back.
Are you looking to apply God's truth in a practical way to your everyday life? Stay in the Fight is a weekday devotional written by Sasso Mendez. This short 3-minute read looks at a verse of scripture and applies it to life in a very real and transparent way. Sasso's blog style writing is humorous, relatable, and a great way to align your thoughts with God's word. Visit stayinthefight.online and subscribe to get notified by email when it releases each weekday. Stay in the Fight is a great way to keep God in your focus, and it's easy to share with others. That's stayinthefight.online.
And we're back. And so we're talking about selfishness, and it's interesting, as I was kind of preparing my notes for this episode, I'm not quite sure how I stumbled upon this, but I stumbled upon these religions. There's these three religions I'm going to just briefly mention, but it's interesting because this is kind of what they teach. They teach selfishness.
It's wild.
And so the first religion, it's interesting. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. It's called Thelema religion. And apparently the word Thelema means choice or will. Thelema is an occult religion that was taught by Aleister Crowley, who was an occultist. And this dude was pretty evil. That's all I got to say. I don't know if you may have you heard of him or no? Mm-mm. So what's interesting about Aleister Crowley, if you've ever looked at like an Ozzy Osbourne record, he had a song called Mr. Crowley. Yeah. The Beatles album, they have pictures of Aleister Crowley. Michael Jackson, I think on his album cover had Aleister Crowley. For some reason, these people had some sort of infatuation with Aleister Crowley. And this guy was just, he was just straight
evil. So he's older?
Yeah, he was older. He was straight evil. You always see him and he's kind of doing this number or no, he's doing this. I think he's a bald guy. I have to show you pictures. It's pretty interesting. But anyway, one of the things that he taught this religion, Thelema. And one of the main axioms of Thelema is this. It is, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. So in other words, do whatever you please. Whatever pleases you, that's the whole of the law. And so the bottom line of the teaching was, it was this selfishness. It was this teaching that was literally straight from the pit of hell. And so that was one religion. I thought that was pretty wild, pretty interesting. And then I was kind of, you know, again, researching, doing a little more research, and I stumbled upon Gospel Coalition. They had a blog entry or an article or something. And they were talking about selfism religion, this religion called selfism. And the idea of this is self-worship. Okay. You're your own God. And the interesting thing about that is I actually know a guy that I used to work with, and that's actually his Instagram handle, Be Your Own God. It's kind of interesting. And I think he's not, definitely not a believer.
I look like Buddha, but no one worship.
Pretty wild. But here's the philosophies of selfism. This is according to Gospel Coalition. The first one is, your mind is the source and standard of truth. So no matter what, trust yourself. And then, you know, I think, okay, so the answer is within. That's just dumb, because how can you be the source of truth? That would mean that that person can also be the source of truth and someone else. Well, there can only be one source of truth. Otherwise, it's not truth, right? There's only one source of truth, and that's God. Again, so just false religion, right? But here's another philosophy that they promote. Your emotions are authoritative, so never question or let anyone else question your feelings. And again, we find another lie here. We see this. We see this in Disney, right? Follow your heart, this type of thinking. So it's kind of interesting. You kind of see these philosophies kind of,
trust your heart,
scattered around. Yeah, trust your own heart. And that's not what the Bible says. It says another philosophy is, you are sovereign. This one's pretty trippy. You are sovereign. So flex your omnipotence and bend the universe around your dreams and desires. That's pretty wild stuff, bro.
But I can tell it's appealing, right?
Right. It would appeal to somebody who wants power, who wants, you know, here's another one. You are supreme. So always act according to your chief end and glorify and enjoy yourself forever. Pretty wild stuff, man. And there's a couple more. Here's a couple more. One of them is, you are the standard of goodness. So don't let anyone oppress you with the antiquated notion of being a sinner who needs grace. Oof. Pretty wild. Mm. And the last one, this is wild, probably. You are the creator. So use that limitless creative power to craft your identity and purpose. And so, I mean, I shouldn't really have to ask this. Like, what's wrong with all of this? I mean, this is just straight evil, obviously, but it's rebellion against God. It's a desire to be God. I mean, this is, again, going back to Satan. And
that's what it sounds like.
He wanted to be God, you know. Just to be the source of truth, again, that's just, it's silly. Like, how can everybody be the source of the truth? There can only be one truth. And then this whole thing about emotions, I mean, and following your heart, that's It's just terrible advice. I mean, the Bible clearly says, what is it? Proverbs 3:5, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all things acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. So we're not to...
So the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else, right?
Right, right.
Don't.
That's our heart, yeah.
A fool, right, trusteth in his heart. Like that's what it tells us.
Right.
And we know things that we've acted upon our heart, right, upon our desires and exactly where it got us. And it's not been good.
Right.
I never made a good decision following my own heart. You know, I probably bought things I shouldn't have bought and done things I shouldn't have done because I followed my instincts or my heart.
Feelings, or, yeah.
Anything about the Bible, emotions. Right, when, you know, David's son had lust unto Dinah, his sister.
Right.
That he consumed it because he wanted to follow his heart and then he couldn't even stand the sight of her anymore. And it led to, you know, evil in David's house and to the demise. He ended up getting killed because he followed his... And that's exactly what it is. He followed his heart. He followed his lust. And sometimes rape, right? And rape's about power too, but that's what it is. It leads to, I have to have that no matter what. And that's... It leads to these... And abortion, the same thing, right? Abortion is absolute selfishness of how it affects my life. Right. So I have to kill you in order to live. And I mean, we hear it all through the news of life insurance policies and husbands killing wives, wives killing husbands for the pursuit of their a new life, a pursuit of a financial gain for the sake of a human life. I mean, we watch First 48 and they'll kill somebody for $200 for assault. Just purely, I could care less about your life. I got to have $200 that's in your pocket.
Yeah.
And that's what's following your heart, right? Because that's what I desire. That's what I want. That's what I'm going to get. And what a miserable life. I think when, you know, when I wanted things for myself and like, it's miserable. Like there's no, like to do the exchange with somebody, right? That's joy to see someone come to Christ. And you're like, man, that is true joy.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, and like my employee wanted like, well, nobody helps me, right? That is a selfish mentality. And that's what we get. Well, I help everybody else, but nobody helps me. And now I'm going to, and you hear this, right? Now I'm going to live for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm tired of helping people.
Yep.
And you're, yeah. and you, we
I'm
hear
gonna get,
that.
I'm going to get my own.
And yeah. they're like, yeah, yeah, you're right. You got to take care of yourself. Yeah. And like,
take care of number one. And no one else is going to look out for you.
We hear that, right? And it's like, yeah. And people will praise you for that. Yeah. And it's utter 100% nonsense, right?
Yeah. They give you that great advice, man. And it's crazy because we follow it or people follow it.
And that's not love, right? That is not, selfishness is not love for others. As God, you know, God, like we did the Easter episode, that he gave his life because he loved us, right? And when you love, you are unselfish. And I mean, I don't know if we're going to go into this, but we can go into the example of Jesus Christ in the, you know, the latter part of the verses we just read. And he was an example and he showed us what true love and what unselfishness is. And that's, I mean, that's the Bible is full of those, right? If a brother, give him your coat, whatever. I mean, if he steal, let him steal no more, but then he pay, but that we give, right? And that's what they say. We talked about a lot of, you know, people, Jews are, you know, democratic because they feel like that democratic idea of helping other people and programs. And I don't agree with all that, but it's their mentality because that's what they're taught in the religion is to give them themselves, to be unselfish. And then Jesus was the classic example with washing the disciples' feet and showing them that a servant, to be great, you have to be a servant. And a servant is basically is unselfish, right? They are serving you. We talked about tips and things like that. And they don't provide a service for it. They just want a tip.
Yeah.
But to be a servant, to wash somebody's feet is humility. And humility is unselfishness. They go hand in hand, just like selfishness is pride. Humility is the opposite of that, you know. And that's Jesus was all about. That's what he said. He didn't come to get served, right? He didn't come to be the king. Palm Sunday, they made him that, but he came to save that which was lost. He came to provide the ultimate service to mankind, which is the epitome. He laid down his life.
Yeah. The ultimate gift. The
ultimate gift he could give of unselfishness put in action is to sacrifice
that's
himself.
Good. That's good, yeah.
And we don't have that in society.
No, this is what we're taught, these religions. So it's funny, I'm talking about these religions, whether you agree with them or not or whatever, if you're not a Christian, oftentimes you fall under these philosophies. You take these philosophies on, and even some Christians do too. The last religion that I'm going to talk about, and this one's just right up straight in your face, it's Satanism. The Church of Satan was established by Anton LaVey in 1966. He's the author of the Satanic Bible. And the basic commonality in all the branches of Satanism, because apparently there's different branches or whatever, I don't know, is the promotion of what? Of self. This is I read all of this, bro. All forms of Satanism claim that life exists to consume and that selfishness is a virtue. Like that's what it's all about. It's weird. Like you would think, Satanism is, we're having these seances and lighting candles and, saying things to Satan. I don't know. No, it's just be selfish. Like it's not about the red devil and his horns and all of that smoke and scary movies and stuff. No, it's just worship yourself. Like do whatever you want. Just kind of like that axiom that was in the one that Aleister Crowley, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Do whatever you want. Just do whatever you want. Feed your flesh. And that's what selfishness does. It's terrible. And it's something that we all fall into. Even as Christians, we fall into this trap.
And I would say, like, we, as I was telling Scott, I go, there's two religions when we boil it down to. There's works and there's, God's finished work.
Right.
And that's what works is. It's a selfish way to pay.
Right, because you want to earn it. You want to earn it.
You want to feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
And here it's strictly faith and saying, I'm trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And I'm dependent upon him, where we live in a society that we think we're not dependent on anybody. We're self-made men, self-made women. I'm a woman, so I can do that. Woman power. And all that is power of self, right? It's a selfish love. And this is we have Hispanic month, Women's month. Like, tell your woman that you're that's self-promotion in a different light. We have the Black Lives Matter movement and different race movements, where it's like that is a promotion of self. It's not a promotion of God, right? So, that's where we're at. And that's at work. They'll have an empowerment session, and it's empowerment of self.
Yeah,
that's what it is. They disguise it, but it's what it is. So I'm either going to work my way and I'm going to feel good about how I get to heaven because I'm doing it, or I'm going to say, there's nothing I can do.
Right.
It's dependent on the finished work of Christ, which takes... To be saved, it requires humility to say, I'm wrong, surrender. God is right.
Yep.
And that's what we're fighting against right now is the selfishness is saying me, me, me. And, God's way is saying, nope, it's all dependent on him. At your knee, I bow, right? It's like, it's it. I mean, there's nothing I can do. And I know what I am. Yeah. And I know that's got me nowhere.
Yeah.
In trouble.
That's exactly right. Well, let's take one last break and we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Pastor Kevin Shaw. Are you or someone you know dealing with the agony of an addiction? You can't change what you do until you let God change who you are. Freedom at Last is a discipleship ministry of Northwest Valley Baptist Church in Glendale, Arizona that applies the life-transforming principles of the gospel and Christian growth to the problems of life-dominating sins and addiction. All of this happens in an atmosphere of love and accountability. Please join us. For more information, please visit us online at getvictorytoday.com. That's getvictorytoday.com.
And we're back. And so we're still talking about selfishness and how we tend to fall into this trap of being selfish even as Christians. But what's the solution to all of this? How do we get past selfishness? Well, one of the first things I thought of is we need to stop listening and believing the lies of the devil, because that's exactly what it is. We're believing the lies of Satan. Another one is we need to be alert and identify when these lies creep up in our mind. So I was just talking to Joel about this just the other day, and we were talking about, where does this battle, this spiritual battle happen? Well, it happens in our mind. And, we were talking about, I think it's, 1 Corinthians 10, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Just these verses that help us to understand that the battle happens in our mind. This is where Satan attacks us. He puts these thoughts in our head, and then we believe his lies. And this is where we fall into this trap. And we also need to be others focused and not self focused. We need to put others first. We need to, one of the things that really we need to do as Christians is we, and I think you mentioned this really I don't know if it was the last episode or we just talked about this. I'm a little tired right now. but you were talking about how we should view people as image bearers of God. We should view people as a soul, and not just a person or just a thing or a way to get to some, you know, some benefit or climb the ladder, or whatever. What can I get out of this person? That's not how we should view people. We should view people as that's a soul right there. That's God's image bearer, you know, and we need to put others first.
And that's tough, right? And that's what, when they would say joy, there's a song, Joy, Jesus and Others in You, you know, what a wonderful world it would be. And that's what it is, right? When you put Jesus first, he gives you the desires for others, and then you come last. But really, you don't come last because you get so much joy out of putting others before yourself, right? And I think that's what kids have taught me is I enjoy giving them gifts when I'm a gift guy, right? I love gifts. But to be able to give somebody a gift that, man, like I can see, like, man, they really enjoyed that. I mean, it's fantastic, where I never thought that would be ever possible. Like, well, why would I care if somebody else gets a gift? I want the gift, right? And I would say we're subject matter experts in selfishness.
Oh yeah.
We don't struggle with that.
No. No.
It's
no one had to teach me that, bro.
Pretty natural.
Yes.
You know. So yes. Yeah, I mean, and even with employees and, you know, things like that, and I got to fight it every day. It's a matter of, am I saying this? It's always my motives, right? What is my motive behind things? And that's what God cares about, because that's truly my heart. What is my heart? Why am I doing it? For what purpose? Is it for me to get gain? And I tell Rebecca, I guard against manipulation, because I can manipulate. I mean, I do it in conversation with, not so much mentally, but I put people in a corner and then I hammer them, right? When people on escalations, I'm good at that. And I could do it to people too. And I guard against, because my wicked heart, right? Yeah, it's constantly seeking itself. Yeah. And I have to, like, say,
you impress yourself. I'm like, whoa, that's cool. I mean, let me see if I can do some more of this. Or yeah, how else can I manipulate the situation?
To get what I want, right, ultimately. I used to do it to Rebecca all the time. Make her feel bad, and she'd finally cave in, and like, man, that's terrible. Like, it's not godly. It doesn't please God to seek my own self, my own will. He's not pleased with that.
No, no. And we look at the book of Mark, and you know, this is when I think the Pharisees were asking Jesus, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, well, it's to love the Lord your God. But then Mark 12:31 says, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And it's has to do with what? With one, loving God, and then loving your neighbor. And it's love, right? It's love, loving. And so selfishness is almost the opposite of love, because if you're being selfish, you're loving yourself, but you're not loving others, you know.
You can't, right? You can't love others because ultimately you're loving yourself. Right. And there's no capacity for anyone else.
Right.
And sometimes you love people because you're loving yourself, right? It's the motive that your derivative is not good if you're really honest with yourself.
You right, know? Right. Well, and it's just this idea of being others aware, you know, Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Ephesians 4:32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ hath forgiven you. 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. This is one that we talk about in FTL quite often. Romans 12:10, it says, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. And so it's this idea of just being others focused, not self focused. We got to take the eyeballs off of ourselves and put them on others and put others first.
And that's what, I mean, he tells us to be subject one to another. And that is to come under each other, right? To be subject to, like, you know, you'd be subject to a king. That if we were to come under each other, I mean, you know, what a beautiful world it would be. And I mean, I remember a couple Sundays ago, maybe 2 months ago, I was supposed to do the scripture reading. And usually they send you, you know, an email. And I didn't get an email that week. So I figured, okay, maybe it's not my week, because I always get an email reminding me. And so I'm like, man. And so, you know, I saw Caleb up there fumbling around on his phone and he read the verses. And then Steve Stern, you know, because that's what Steve does. He came up to me and he said, hey, what happened? You're on the schedule. You're supposed to read the verses. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's 100% me. And I think back 10 years ago, I probably would have blamed Susie and I would have said a lot of, you know, and God's worked in my life, right, to just to deflect. Because that's selfish, right? To self-preserve your own, like, I don't want to look stupid.
Right, right.
And so I immediately just emailed Susie and I said, hey, I'm sorry. You know, I just messed up. I know you sent it to me a month ago. I didn't write it down. I thought I'd get an email, but it's 100% my fault. And she wrote back and said, 100% my fault. I should have sent you the email. This is the email I had for you and it's different than what you sent me. So I had the wrong email address. And if we'll both all the time just come under each other and just apologize or try to say, it's my fault. We'll have a lost problem. But the problem is we're selfish and we come from, well, if you would have sent me the email, I wouldn't forgotten. Mm-hmm. Well, I sent it to you a month ago. If you would have just paid attention when I first sent it to you, you would have remembered to go up there, right? And that's sometimes how it gets. It gets ugly because we're selfish and our pride is hurt and we don't want to look stupid. And even though, and at work, they talk about extreme ownership. And I mean, that's a book that's gone around. But upper management does not take extreme ownership, but you're supposed to. And what a beautiful world it would be if the people under us took extreme ownership, but we were above that. And we look, and I'll say these verses in a little bit, but you look at Jesus Christ and he was a lamb, right? And when he was accused of these things and said nothing, unselfish, right? He didn't defend himself. Yeah. He didn't say, do you know who I am? Like,
call down legions of angels
to kill all of you for spitting on me, beating me.
Right.
He didn't. He had humility and unselfishness is ultimate humility.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's others before you.
Here's a couple more verses I have for you. Galatians 5:25, let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. So again, it's be considerate of other people. Okay. Don't provoke one another. Don't, you know, just like you said, you could have jumped all over Susie and
both of us, right?
Yeah. You both could have, you know,
jumped all over me,
but that's cool. I mean, that's part of being a brother and sister in Christ. Right.
And that's envy too. I believe when you talk about envy in that verse, like somebody gets a new car and we're like, oh, can they afford it? Or that's how we get, instead of just being happy for you.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I went to the D-backs game with my cousin. She invited me, her and her husband. And, we were talking about my uncle and, you know, he said, you know, hey, what's Oslo's pension like? Because, you know, my son's retiring and he has a great pension. And I'm like, well, I'm happy for him. Like, why can't we be, it's not a competition. Like, he can be happy for me. I can be happy for him. Even if, what if I don't have a pension? Like, it doesn't matter. And we're so inclined to, what do you got? Or how much money do you make? Or what do you do for a career? And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
It really doesn't. I used to, it's funny, that's be the first question I ask people. You know, I'd love to, well, what do you do? You know, what do you do? And anymore,
Harvard of the West.
And anymore, I really, it's not that I don't care, but I don't see it as a job as that's what defines somebody. It's not what defines me. I'm a Christian first, and that's, I love the Lord, and I'd love to talk about that. If you ask me what I do, I'll tell you. But that's just not the first thing on my mind. And this is just as I get older, maybe I'm maturing a little bit. I don't know. But that used to be what I first thing I'd ask. I'd go, well, what do you do? It's like that flex.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do? Oh, what do you do? You know, you got it. It's like a competition. And anymore, I'm just like, dude, I'm
it doesn't matter, right? No, it's an avenue of that God's given us to provide for our families, and that's it.
You know? It's a means to an end, bro. That's all it is.
And so, I mean, we get that way, and we get envious, and envious is just, it's pride, right? It's selfishness. It's
right.
It's saying, you don't deserve that, or I want that, or why don't I should have that?
Right, I deserve it, and you don't. It's really what you're saying, yeah. Essentially,
like, man, it makes me happy that you had the last piece of brisket, whatever. You know, I don't know.
That's a tough one, bro.
All right. I've gone too far. Sorry. Too soon. We're working on it. Sanctification test coming up on Sunday.
But that's the hard part, right? You know, it's like. Jesus says here in Matthew 6:33, he told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's hard for us to deny ourselves, right? Because we want what we want. You know, I'm a big breakfast guy, and I think I was telling you about this earlier, and I'm going to try to get back on my fasting, but it's hard to deny myself that. I love those breakfast burritos. And, you know, today, dude, we had made some pork loin the other day. We smoked it. And we made little pork chops out of it for dinner one night. But the kids, you know, they didn't eat dinner that night. They went out to eat or something. So we had all this leftover pork loin. So we chopped it up and we made kind of like this like little stew, like with some green chili and some onions and garlic. And oh, bro, it was so good. It was a couple, you know, fried eggs and some hash browns and tortillas. Like, bro, like, I love breakfast, bro, but to deny myself.
That's a rich man's ramen right there.
It's going to be a little tough tomorrow. But that's what we're called to do. We're called to deny ourselves. We need to put others first. It's like, it was like John. I think John said this, right? It's the John the Baptist, that is. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. He realized that Jesus was so much greater than he was, and he had to decrease. He wasn't the Messiah, but he knew the one who was the Messiah. And that's what we need to do. We need to decrease. That's just what we need to do.
And I think the more we talk about God, right, the more that we talk about Jesus Christ, I think it gives us the perspective of what we really are, right? And right. And you look at the Apostle Paul when he said, I am the chiefest sinners. Mm. He saw himself in that light of sinfulness because he was close to God, and God... really, that sun reflects our lives and the holes that we have. And I think when we talk about God, we can't be selfish because we give all glory to him, all praise to him. We don't take any of it. And they were trying to worship Paul, and he's like, whoa, like, no. It's of God. And my mother-in-law, Rebecca, will laugh if she ever listens to this episode. That she'll just say, like, it's not about you, because it's truly not. But we have to fight that because we tend to think everything is about us. You know, girl says hi and like, oh, she likes me. Like, no, she just said hi. we're just selfish that way. I don't, we fight against it. It's our sin nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got to get mine.
It is. It really is. Speaking of Romans 7:5, for while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. And that's what it is, right? When we're selfish, we're bearing evil fruit is what we're doing. John 13:34-35. This is where it's at, man. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And it's interesting because we're defined like that, right? If we're truly his disciples, if we're truly a follower of Jesus, then we should have one love for one another. That should be
prevalent,
evident in our lives. If that's true.
Well, and you think about that, and the reason I think it's such a testimony because it's not prevalent in our society.
Right.
You stand out when you have love one to another. Like if I love my boss as I should, and it's difficult, I should. I'm commanded to love him as an image bearer of God. And if I do, I'll stand out amongst my employees who, you know, we all want to jump in on the complaining and things like that. But if I have love one to another, it really shows the love of God. Because God loves us, as we talked about the Easter episode, unconditionally. And that's what he desires. Because he said, you know, anybody can love someone that's good to them. But to love your enemies.
Right.
That's
unheard of.
That's unheard of in this world. And when you do that, people know like something's different about that guy because he shouldn't be loving the people he loves, but man, he's still no matter what, because that's the life Jesus lived on this earth. He loved those who deserved, which was us too, right? Deserved not to be loved by him.
Right. Well, I mean, you have Stephen, you know, being stoned, and he's there taking the stoning, and yet while taking the stoning, saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And then you take that to the next level, and Jesus did that. But Jesus was taking on the sin of the whole world, which is crazy to me. Yet he's enduring all this physical torment as well. And he still said that, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When he could have called down legions of angels, like we said, he could have stopped it. He could have. In fact, that's what they were telling you. Hey, if you're the Messiah, come down from that cross and save yourself. But he loved that person so much that he just took it, and he bore their sin on that cross.
And the other person, right, said, "For you're railing on him, for we're here because of we've done
something wrong." Yeah.
And he was, and that was a selfish thing too, because he said, "Take us and you off the cross," right? It wasn't just take yourself, it was us too.
Yeah.
And he's like, why are you messing with him? And then that's when he said, boom, you believed, today I'll see you in paradise. But we all have these selfish motives. Yeah. And he did. He's It'll take us all off the cross, save our other lives. And that's the whole thing with, you know, the Jewish. They thought, okay, the Savior, the Messiah is going to save us from Roman oppression, not knowing that their greatest need was not from the immediate, but for the eternal. And sometimes we're like that as well, you know, in a very selfish, short-sighted view of of our life.
Yeah.
Not knowing that, you know, like he said today, thy soul will be required of thee, thou fool. You know, and that's, we lose sight of eternity.
We do.
When we're selfish too. I mean, that's.
Well, I think it's, you lose sight of reality in a sense too. I mean, you think about when like somebody passes away and you just kind of get that perspective on life again. It's like it draws you back in like, oh, okay, oh, you know. All of a sudden, all these big things that going on in your life, all of a sudden they seem about this big. Why? Because now all of a sudden it's just about a person or somebody that has
a loved one,
the brevity of life, you know, somebody that has passed away. And then you start thinking about, well, wow, I'm, you know, who knows when I'm going to go? Like, God only knows that. I mean, it could be in the next 5 minutes. I don't know. I mean, I feel pretty healthy right now, but who knows? I mean,
who knows what's going inside?
Right.
The chicken wing made its way up the one of the chambers, you know.
One of the arteries, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
So, but yeah, it's definitely, yeah. So did you have any other?
I just want to close. We started with Philippians 2, 3 and 4, and I just want to close with Philippians 2, 5. And just, this is the example of Christ about being unselfish. And he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow.
Amen.
Of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to glory of God the Father. To the glory of God the Father. And this is talking about Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, humbling himself to become us. And we talked a little about this in the Easter edition, but he was made in the form of, took upon him the form of a servant. So this was a voluntary obedience to the Father. And if Jesus Christ, right, can be obedient to the Father and humble himself to be us, how much more can we humble ourselves to be unselfish?
Right.
And ultimately, unselfishness is telling others about Jesus Christ and sharing the gift that we have and not hoarding it and not sharing it with other people. And I'm guilty of not doing this as well, but I mean, what a testimony we have that he was the form of God, but made himself of no reputation. And I think a lot of us live a life to have a reputation for that benefits us. Right? We want a good reputation. We want a good credit score. And he said he had no reputation, right? He came with a coat and he left naked, right? And just for us, because he loved us that much. John 3:16, I mean, what a great verse.
It's mind-blowing. It really is.
What an example.
Really, of humility, and it's something that we could stand to do. We could be a little bit more humble. I just want to give one parting verse before we jump off the air here. 1 Peter 2:11. And with this verse, I just want to encourage you guys. You know, with this whole talk about selfish or being selfish and selfishness. I mean, Sasu and I have mentioned this. We're not above any sin, so there's no judgment on our part. But I do want to encourage you as well. 1 Peter 2:11 says, "Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." And so I just want to encourage you to really, really think about this, think through this, think about the humility of Christ and the example that is to us and how we could stand to be a little more humble and loving to our fellow man, to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, to each other. And just think if we just had a little bit more of that, each one of us, how much better this world would be in and of itself. Just, and it's not because of that some sort of philosophy or whatever, but because God is love and he's the one that demonstrated us. He demonstrated that humility for us, and to be more like him, man, it's almost would be like heaven on earth.
Yeah. We would live in a whole entirely different
society,
place, yeah, right? Yeah. If we live with the you first instead of us first.
Yeah.
And I would just encourage our listeners, like, who can you be a blessing to today?
Amen. Right?
Whose life can you make better for eternity, with the good news, or with doing a con gift, or, you know, maybe God laid something on your heart and you've told him no and you don't want to do it. And maybe God wants you to reach out to someone and to be unselfish, to give of yourself. And
amen.
who, if you close your eyes in your mind, who is God, you know, laid upon your heart to be unselfish to? Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's your aunt and uncle, whatever that is. I encourage you, you know, be unselfish and honor God within that way.
Amen. Well, thank you guys for listening to another episode of the Abundant Life Podcast. Be sure to check us out at abundantlife.fm. If this episode has been a blessing to you, would you just give us a thumbs up on YouTube and subscribe to the channel? And we will see you guys in the next episode.
Coming soon.
Coming soon. Bye for now.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. Please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.